Hey, it's Jackie from the 40 Thrive podcast. Have you joined us yet in our free and private Facebook group? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? The link to join is right here in the show notes. We would love to have you.
You're listening to the 40 Thrive podcast, the show created for women 40 and beyond, ready to shake things up. And now, your host, Jackie McDougall.
Welcome back to another episode of the 40 Thrive podcast. Now, when I first came up with the idea for launching the 40 Thrive community and podcast, it was because of two reasons. Number one, my life has been filled with so many unique experiences that I would regularly get that message. Hey, I've got a friend. They're going through what you've been through, whether it was having a genetic cancer risk, raising kids with special needs, having a parent with Alzheimer's. I've been through a lot, and I've always been open with sharing what I learn with other people to help them through it too. And number two, I had access to some of the best experts around. With over 20 years in TV and building digital platforms, I have met so many experts on the projects I've worked on, and somehow would have this connection with many of them that we'd continue to work together on future projects and even become friends. Dr. Suzanne Gilberg-Lenz is one of those people. I met her over a decade ago when I was launching a parenting site for Warner Brothers, and she was our go-to OBGYN. You may remember her from my first 40 Thrive live event, and I co-hosted the self-care project with her last year in LA. In fact, it was a year ago this week that we hosted that. Dr. Suzanne is a self-proclaimed hardcore science nerd, but she couples that with a deep respect for the holistic approach to health and life. And she's the perfect guest for week two of our November challenge. Don't know what I'm talking about? Check out episode 45 from last week. We're challenging you to say no to whatever doesn't serve you this month, whether it's unhealthy food habits, people-pleasing, alcohol consumption, spreading yourself too thin, maybe attempting to win over people who will never be won over, or just fill in the blank. The challenge is to say yes to those things that will move you forward, make you feel good, serve your life, and say no to those that don't. So join us, check out last week's episode, and become a part of the November challenge. All right, it was just over a year ago that Dr. Suzanne began to say no to spending the time, money, and energy on coloring her hair. Hear what she's learned from this experience, it might surprise you, and what other women over 40 think about it. Plus, we talk about her menopause boot camp and how you can attend a live event in early 2020 in Los Angeles. Okay, let's jump right in. My conversation with Dr. Suzanne Gilberg-Lenz. You walked in the room and the first thing I saw was this beautiful silver hair.
Yeah.
And I remember posting your video when you were like, I'm going gray. And the whole world was, you know, isn't it funny that a woman goes gray, which is the natural process, and you get an Instagram account and like 100,000 followers?
So. Oh, no. I've discovered like a whole gray world out there. It's really interesting.
There's like that grombre.
Yes, and, you know, yes.
So we have to talk about this first. Like, why the gray hair and how has your life changed?
I mean, it's changed. It saved me a lot of money and a lot of time. So that's how it's changed, you know, like in a very pragmatic way.
Right.
And that was, I think, the thing that pushed me the most at the end, even though it was a much bigger decision than that. So it's, how has it changed? It's made my, it's, I feel like I'm much more authentically myself and I'm much more able to be with myself and like look in the mirror and be like, oh, that's me. That's what I look like. And, you know, most of the time I'm okay with it. Sometimes I'm like, what the hell did I do? I look so old. But it's been really great, and it's been like an amazing conversation starter. You know, obviously, you know, I'm a gynecologist, so I'm literally talking to women all day, every day.
Right.
And, you know, at this point, I'm about, I made the decision to stop coloring my hair like June of 2018, but I probably hadn't colored it for about 3 months before that. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, like almost a year and a half, let's say. So people are now starting to cycle you know, who have seen me with the gray growing in. And that's a whole conversation too, because when people were coming back to see me, they were like, oh my God, what's going on?
Right.
And it's been really, really interesting. I struggled with it for a long time. So in my family, I have dark hair, really dark hair, mm-hmm. naturally. And we go gray really early. Like by my mid 30s, I was moving towards salt and pepper in a big way. And I just felt like it aged me and I wasn't ready for it. And so that's when I started coloring my hair, you know, but it was so much time and so much money. And then I just started feeling like it actually made me look older because it was like the color didn't really match my skin. Yeah. I don't know. And what I started to realize, what I said to you was, you know, for a long time I was like, oh, well, if I had this kind of skin or this color eyes, like I'm so pale, my eyes are light. I said this.
Right, that's the first thing I said to you.
Right, because you said that to me. I'm like, ha, 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 that's what I used to say.
I'm like, I'm so pale, I couldn't go gray.
Right, well, first of all, you can do whatever you want, actually, is the actual answer, which we all know.
Yes.
But it's very, very challenging because it is an acceptance of your aging and you're really like out there. You are advertising. Like there is no hiding. Like, of course, there are the adorable 30-year-olds who went prematurely gray.
Right.
I'm clearly not a 30-year-old.
Or the 20-year-olds who actually do it
make
on purpose.
Their hair, I know, damage their hair so much and bleach it out. But actually what I would say to people or to myself was, I'm going to fade away. Isn't that interesting? Which is, I think, what I thought was going to happen at some deep level. Like, I'm going to fade away. I'm not going to be viable anymore. You know, a woman in her 50s is like a thing we talk about now, and it's sort of like hip and cool, sort of. But we're either really scary because we're knowledgeable and we don't need you anymore and we really don't care what you think or say. Peace out. Like, we don't care.
Right.
That's very threatening. Mm. Or we're no longer sexually reproductively viable, so we're, you know, first wives club kind of thing.
Right.
And I'm neither of those things. You know, I mean, I'm who I am, and how you react is not really my business, actually.
Right. Right.
So I just got to a point, but I was scared. I was really scared.
Well, I think it's like anything. When you first start to go gray, so first of all, I would be that person who would just go and get my hair colored gray and then have the gray come in. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd just be like, boom, done.
Right. Right.
Which I have no idea if that's even a thing. But, you know, the first days or the first months where it's just a little bit, then it's like,
gross.
Oh, is she okay? Is she not taking care of herself? Like, what the hell's wrong with her? Like, the point you're at now...
Well, now
is
it's
like,
grown
oh,
in.
This is a conscious choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it looks beautiful. Oh. But did
well, but
you
I
have
did.
That?
No, I did. And I kind of struggled with it and I wasn't sure. And one of my longtime patients is a colorist. And I actually broke up with my hair person, who is still a very close friend of mine, because he knew I was wanting to. And so we were going lighter, lighter, lighter. Like the idea was like, I'm going to go blonde and then go gray.
Right.
But this was taking forever.
Right.
And then I went in and I came out one time and I was like, dude, my hair's darker. And he's like, yeah, you're not ready.
Oh.
And I was like, this was actually the catalyst. And I was
okay,
like,
this is the topic.
I was like, no, you're not ready. It's in my head. It was crazy. And he's, you know, whatever. We're so close. Whatever. So I was just like, I need a break from you and from this. And then I was like, I don't know what to do. And so I called Joy LeMay, who, if you're in the Valley or in Southern California, she's amazing. And I was like, is it weird, but can you help me with this? She's like, oh my God, Suzanne, I do this all the time.
Right.
Come in. And so what she did was she stripped all the remaining dark color out of most of my hair and then kind of made it like a caramely blondie to blend it. And then she was like, okay, that's it. You're just going to cut your hair from now on. And that's what I did. So I think even when we did our event, like I had a lot of like light brown blondie because I'd already been doing it for a couple months.
Do you know the day that you went to do that? That first day we had lunch after.
Oh, right. Right.
Yeah,
we saw each other to plan.
I saw you right away.
Yeah. So I did do something to make it like not look so harsh.
Yeah. No, it looked really nice.
But now, you know, it's funny. Like I just cut it recently and I still have like colored in it. But I mean, I was looking like, oh my God. One of my friends told me in a nice way that I looked like a German Shepherd because I had every possible hair color.
In a nice way.
Yeah, she didn't mean it mean. I was like, thanks. German Shepherd, okay.
That's funny. Yeah. So do you feel like you've inspired other women to go for it?
Yeah, I think I have. I have, and also it's been really interesting because it brings up these conversations like when people are like, well, I could never. First of all, let me just say, I am not on the planet to convince anybody to go gray. Like
right.
If people want to go gray, awesome. And if they want to color their hair till they're 97, they should definitely do that too.
Right.
I really... no judgment.
Isn't that the point? Is
right.
That you just want to do what's right for you?
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, I have a specific point of view and a specific perspective on myself and on women in general, to be perfectly honest, but I'm not here to judge anybody. Right. What's interesting to me is that I've had interesting conversations with women who are threatened by it or who are really scared of it, and just pointed out how the process went for me and how empowering it has been, and how when people say to me, I could never do that, because people say it all the time. That's like the first thing that I bet 75% of women of a certain age who color their hair say to me, I could never do it. And I say, that's what I thought. Like, right. And you actually could do whatever you want. And it's right. Totally cool that you're coloring your hair. You also could stop. Yeah. It would be fine.
Well, women also say things when they're really judging. I just remember when my kids were younger and they're like, wow, you're a much cooler mom than I am. I would have never let my kids do that.
And I'm right.
You know, right? That was like some backhanded bullshit. Right.
Well, I did have some people say to me, mostly women who are older than me, who are just like never going to, you know, do it. Like they were giving me advice like, well, you know, if you thought about doing this way or doing, I was like, Yeah. Actually, this is a decision I made.
Right.
Hello.
Yeah.
What?
I just know for me, I'm either going to go for it 100% and do like the boom. Whoa, look at her silver hair.
Yeah.
Or never.
Yeah. Fine.
You
cool.
know, that's that's just I'm all or nothing. You know,
at this point. It's one of your charms. One of your charms.
Yeah. Let's call it that. So I want to talk about menopause boot camp.
Yes.
What the hell is that, and why did you create this? It's amazing.
It came to me. It was an epiphany.
The visual is fantastic.
In every possible way. It's so great. Yeah. Well, you know, over the course of the last couple of years, I've gotten more interested and more knowledgeable about menopause and menopause treatment.
Because, so, I mean, you've delivered some of the most famous babies in the world.
That we can't talk about.
Exactly. And you still do that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
But I've seen the shift in you.
Less than you used to. Yeah, way less.
And I've seen the shift in you. Just, I mean, we've known each other like 10, 12 years,
maybe? Probably.
And so just in the past 3 to 5, I would say, I see you more in this midlife type of...
Well, I'm embracing my own thing. I mean, some of it is that I think a lot of us will become very interested in what we're going through.
Yes.
So I am one of those people.
Yes.
And in medicine.
Hence 40 Thrive.
Right. And for me in medicine and what I do, it's been really a gift because I do work with women through all different, you know, areas of their life and lifespan. And this is an area that's been largely ignored. And it does go along with a lot of the other experiences that I've had just as a woman who's, you know, 53 and a half and who's been involved in medicine and in media. Like, it's just so interesting, like, and then the conversation that's going on culturally and Me Too and, you know, just a real renaissance and questioning of what is feminism and it's just sex, that la, 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 la.
All of it.
All of it goes together. And I think that the conversation around aging, it's limited and it's limiting. We're not talking a lot about it. And what I was finding is that people that I knew in person and my patients really had no idea. They were totally clueless. So I started educating myself because I have conventional and integrative and holistic, it was a really great marriage because there are a lot of different things you can do and different strategies for helping people. The catalyst was actually that a really good friend of mine who's 30, a big influencer, a female founder, really amazing human being, and a wonderful friend to me, she and I both joined The Wing, which is a women's co-working space.
Okay.
And she asked me to come and she wanted to interview me about menopause. And when I joined this place, they said to me, hey, you know, we really want to make sure we're reaching out to all of our membership because we're sort of viewed as a millennial thing. But in fact, we have membership of all ages. And I said, I'd love to do programming with you. So then Erica Chitty Cohen invited me to have this conversation about menopause.
Shout out to Erica.
We love her. Mm-hmm. And to The Wing for really being into it and getting it. And I was really surprised. I was surprised at how many people came. I was surprised at who came, mixed crowd age-wise, pregnant woman, a mother-daughter.
And what was it branded as?
It was just Menopause 101 is what they called it. Yeah. This is driving me nuts.
And here comes the pregnant woman.
Right. It was so interesting. I'm like, wow, interesting choices. And as we started having the conversation, I thought, wow, this is amazing. And we talked about it. I said, Erica, this intergenerational exchange of information is so critical, and we've lost it. So, you know, we've lost a lot of information as our communities have splintered, you know, over the last several hundred years, right? So people don't live in their small communities and, you know, see a birth and help, you know, a cow come out and watch a person nurse and attend, you know, all, like, we just don't even know what our bodies do at all.
Right.
And it dawned on me that we've really worked hard on normalizing breastfeeding, boobs, birth, labor, delivery, child rearing. I mean, we have a ways to go. Yeah. Sex is being talked about. No one's talking about menopause and aging.
Well, you get to a certain point, you're like, shh.
Right.
Stop talking.
Well, because
no one wants to hear it.
Because it's because this goes back to what I said in the beginning of the conversation. There's a lot of fear around it. There's a loss, like we're losing a part of ourselves and we're not going to be important or interesting to men anymore. And then there's also, I think, an intimidation fear factor with some people because women, as we age, sometimes really come into our own. And there's an opportunity to really focus on ourselves, which is not culturally what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be taking care of everybody else.
Right.
And now we're sort of a threat. And also, we know the wise woman, the crone, the witch, all that. Like, that comes from something real. Because it's like, what's the threat? I'm not trying to have your baby. I can't have your baby. I don't want to have your baby. So I'm going to be over here doing this thing.
Yeah, but it's the third one.
And
really,
I know a lot of stuff.
It's the third one that really bothers men. I don't want to have your baby.
Well, I mean, and you know, obviously this is like very boiled down.
Yeah.
But it really struck me that we're missing this. And so I realized, okay, so what do I love to do? I love to teach. I love to exchange information.
Yes.
I love to empower people. I'm all about self-care. And I realized the best way for people to care for themselves is to have knowledge and power and strategies to enact whatever it is that they need to enact going forward. And I wanted to normalize menopause. And I literally was driving around and I was thinking about this and it just came to my brain, menopause boot camp. So the way we've been doing it so far is that I have 3-hour-long sessions with a group of women. I'm mostly dispensing information, and then there's a lot of question and answers. And there's a check-in, and we've done some breathing and movement to sort of get ourselves in the room and grounded. I've been doing it at Rebecca Beninati's amazing studio, Wellborn Lifestyles in Sherman Oaks, where they do so many great classes, education, yoga, meditation, wellness, the whole thing.
And for those people who were at the self-care project with us
last year.
She
did an amazing movement session.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
Yeah, she's an incredible yoga instructor and more. And then the fourth session, which will be this Friday, I'll give a mini talk, and Greg Reed, who is, spoiler alert, my life partner, but he's a 35-year veteran of the, he's actually a Marine, former Marine, and a veteran of the fitness industry, former bodybuilder, Reiki practitioner, yogi, works a lot with women of a certain age and older people. He's going to do a group fitness class that's aimed at how can we move our bodies to increase strength, flexibility, and optimize our aging. So I'm so excited about it. And people have really been responding.
That's
I'm getting
so
invited
cool.
to go other places to do this. And I would love to have your listeners attend. We can talk about how that happens.
We're going to have a special code for you at the end of the show.
For sure.
So keep listening.
Yeah, TBD. And that has been really wild because one of the things, I'm dispensing all this like very detailed information, but what people are telling me is that the main thing they're getting out of it is that they're not scared anymore.
Interesting.
They feel like they know what's coming.
Right.
That they're, some of it will be expected, some of it will be unexpected,
right.
but it will be okay.
Yeah.
And they have resources.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really intense.
Yeah, you're breaking down. I mean, not only is it mysterious because we're like, oh, is this thing that's happening to me normal?
Right.
But then if you're not talking about it, it's very lonely.
So isolating.
You know, and the only thing, it's funny having this podcast for women over 40, 50, 60. So, but as you know, I had surgical menopause. I went from baby to menopause within a year, less than a year, 9 months. When I was in my 30s. So I don't know what it feels like to go through perimenopause and all that. So that's why I have to bring, I don't have that experience. I just know for the past, you know, over a decade, it feels crappy sometimes.
I know.
But I want to make sure that I'm providing other people who naturally go into it the resources.
Yeah.
So what have you found most surprising about like what you're teaching and what people are receiving in the feedback?
Well, I don't, like I said, I don't know if I was surprised by this, but I was, I don't know what word I would use. I was gratified, and I was, I guess, a little bit surprised that it wasn't, should I take bioidenticals or not, that, or how do I make my vagina juicy? Like, that's important and interesting to people, but really the feedback has by and large been, okay, I'm not freaked out about this anymore.
Right.
I was really, like, even though I knew people needed it, sometimes when we're deep in knowledge, we forget how much people don't know. And I guess what I have been surprised by is how little otherwise very educated, sophisticated, resourceful, resourced women, how much they really don't know about their own body. Like, right. That is pretty shocking to me.
Right. And I mean, obviously, wow. There's a space for you to be doing this,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's been like that for decades or yeah. Forever, you know?
And it's been talked about. I think, you know, the last really important book that came out about this was like 20 years ago, Christiane Northrup. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I really admire her. I mean, there are a lot of things that I have in common with her, but I'm definitely more in the middle. Like, I'm very heart-centered and intuitive and, you know, make use of alternative modalities and holistic health and things like that, but I'm like super duper grounded in science, and I think and that's where I come from when I teach too,
right.
So I talk a lot about the exchange of energy and love and you know, self-love and all this stuff, and I also talk about the science and what is the evidence to support the use of this, that, or the other therapy.
Right. I love that you're, I mean, you're science with a little bit of woo-woo.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think it's a great mix because
I like
mind-body-soul connection, you know, I think you go into sometimes a medical professional and they forget the mind part I've seen this.
Or they don't get explicit about it. Maybe they have a belief system around that in their personal life even.
Right.
But I think that people tend to wear different hats in different arenas, and I don't tend to do that.
Right.
I tend to just kind of come in as me.
Right. Yeah. But I think that, you know, when you go into a doctor or a medical professional and you're like, this is how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, sometimes they're there because they've seen it day in and day out.
Or
they know
it's
common, but it does not feel common to the person going through it.
It's unique to you. But I think the other thing, too, is that we don't necessarily have training in a lot of stuff.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know what to do with your feelings. So
right.
They don't want to hear them.
Right.
This is true in life,
yes.
Actually.
Yes.
And I think in medicine, it's really true. It's very interesting. Like, you know, the longer I practice, the more I'm very much aware. I've done a huge amount of work on myself. Like, I'm constantly working on myself. And, you know, that's a value to me. And I think that if you don't work on yourself and you're going to be in a healing arts profession, there's going to come a time where you're really limited in what you can do for other people. Because there's a way for me to acknowledge you as a human and as a feeling person and as a spiritual being without now like going down some road I can't get myself out of. Like, I can just merely acknowledge it and move on if I only have 7 minutes with you. Like, I feel confident that I can do that.
Right.
But if I haven't done the work myself, like, you presenting that to me is challenging and I don't know what to do with that information.
Mm.
I had this conversation, I think I had it last week when we were talking more about sexuality and stuff, and I said, you know, don't forget, like, the person that you're sitting across from, your care provider, your doctor, whatever, like, they have their shit about sex too.
Right.
So, if you know,
not just their professional.
Yeah, they're a person.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you have some unexamined stuff about sex, like, it might make it harder for you to advise people about sex.
Right.
It might make it harder for you to talk about sex.
Yeah.
Just
if you're a
partner, guessing.
Yeah, if you're frustrated with your partner, then this person comes in and wants, I mean, I can understand all the different scenarios, how difficult that might be.
Yeah, or you're just, if you're not aware of yourself,
yeah.
You know?
So all of my listeners obviously are not in the LA area.
Right.
Otherwise they'd be, and many of them will be, I'm sure, attending your future programs. But what are some of the things that you are like top level things that you teach? Like, what can we learn? Sort of get our own little menopause boot camp taste today.
Well, first of all, I'm hoping to get this online sometime soon.
Good.
So I will let you know when that happens so that people can have access.
Great.
Second of all, I really take it down to the studs. So I talk about the basics, the definitions. This is the other thing that people had no idea, the definition of perimenopause, the definition of menopause. So perimenopause is, you know, the time leading up to menopause. And then the thing about menopause itself that is mysterious is that you don't know when it's coming. You only know once it's happened. So we call there's something called the FMP, which is the final menstrual period. Once, and you don't know that it's your final menstrual period until you know.
Right. You'd so, probably appreciate it a little bit more.
Maybe you
would. Buy a dinner or something.
Yeah, totally right. Oh my God. So yeah, a year after that last period, now you're in post-menopause.
Okay.
So just like the basic definition, stuff like that. People just don't even know.
Right.
And how long could that take? Oh, it could take up to 10 years.
Really?
Yes, it could take a long time. What's the average age? 45 to 55. There's such a massive amount of variation.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting because the uniqueness of humans and the uniqueness of women is really reflected in this experience. So that's something that I got into the nitty gritty. And it was interesting to me. I was like, are they going to be into this? They were so into it that people were taking notes. It was wild.
Isn't that the best feeling when you see them?
I know. I was like, there will be no quiz. So that kind of stuff. And then I really went through sort of I've gone through the most common things that we suffer from.
Yes.
And suffering is the main issue.
Yes.
If you're feeling symptoms and they're not bothersome, cool, you need not do anything. If you're suffering, that's the issue. So I think that giving of permission and allowing people to know that there are things you can do. So hot flashes are definitely number one, sleep disturbance, cognitive changes, sexual changes in terms of everything from interest to the way it feels, dryness, to orgasms, how to deal with partnered sex, not partnered sex, why is it important or not, you know, the hormonal status, why that has an impact on your sense of well-being, your sense of who you are, bone health, heart health. I'm sure I'm forgetting something else. Nutrition, weight, I mean,
right.
All the big stuff. So we're really talking about that stuff and everything from pharmaceutical approaches to what is bioidentical hormones to should you be using compounded versus pharmaceutical. I always start with pharmaceutical. To exercises, to herbs, to sleep hygiene, to cannabis and CBD. There's a lot. There's a ton of information out there.
Wow.
It's really been great.
And you are able to pack this into 4 weeks.
Well, so far. I mean, you know, I do what I can.
Yeah.
I think, you know, online it'll be longer than that.
Right.
And we're going to do fitness, too. We're going to do some group fitness.
That's great.
To address what are the ways that we can continue to honor our bodies and stay strong.
Right. And that's sort of like one of the things for me that's most amazing is, I mean, we've heard diet and exercise is really the answer to everything since the beginning of time. And in our 20s and maybe 30s, we're like, I'll dabble in that.
Right.
But if we don't take it seriously now, or let me rephrase, when we do take it seriously now, it's a game changer.
No, huge. Huge.
I notice hot flashes when I eat certain things. I notice like I get nasally or swollen. Like I can tell if I when I put my rings on in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I ate yesterday because I can't get my rings on.
Right.
You know, and it's like it's not a weight thing. It's just an inflammation thing.
100%. Inflammation is a huge thing and exercise is one of the biggest, most important tools to fight inflammation. Also really important, you know, the blood flow to your brain is really important. We know that people who exercise on a regular basis vigorously, whatever that means for you, actually have better blood flow to their brain, and that could decrease your rates of dementia and Alzheimer's. And women have 2 to 3 times the rate of dementia. Postmenopausal women have 2 to 3 times the rate of Alzheimer's and dementia than men.
Wow.
So, and some women like can't take hormones or don't want to take hormones, and
right.
we don't even know if that would be a treatment for that or a preventative. You know, certainly blood flow to the sex organs is important for sensation. And, you know, it's not just like sex, it's also urinary tract infections, bladder health, I mean, blah, 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 blah. So that's just like, if that's the only thing people do, and then, you know, I'm like a huge fan of meditation. And that's another big anti-inflammatory activity, because when we calm ourselves down and we calm our nervous system down, we're decreasing stress, we're decreasing cortisol release, we're decreasing inflammation, we're increasing immune function. So that's my answer to everything.
Yeah. And if you're freaking out right now, or you're that person who's saying, oh, I can't meditate because, you know, we've all been there.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and breathe.
100%.
Even if it's for 30 seconds.
Yeah, that is meditation. The whole point of meditation is that your brain is going to wander. It's just going back to the breath or a mantra or a thought or, you know, a phrase.
Yeah. And you know, different people like different types of meditation. Like I go on Insight Timer.
Yeah.
And I listen to the same guy over and over again.
Yeah.
I just absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Because I have this issue with mouth noises. And so if somebody gets breathy or lips, I will get ragey. And so I have to find people who like don't trigger the rage inside.
Wow.
I know that. And I'm only revealing that because I think other people probably have that as well.
I think when you're listening and it's like in your ears, that would make sense to me.
Yeah. Like you have to sound, you just have to be like I don't know. But so I find this one guy, and he does, you know, a lot of really great stuff. So, but other people don't want to hear anybody talk during meditation.
Right. I mean, there's so many, you can actually time things. You can, this is why, you know, the ancients had a mantra. You were given a mantra because you have something to focus on.
Right.
You just like repeat it over and over and over. Right. It's not necessarily that it's some like weird culty religious thing.
Right.
It's just something to focus your brain on. And there are, you know, metta, loving kindness has, you know, very simple phrases you can state, you know, whatever. You could go, listen, yeah. Google is amazing.
But you don't have to spend $5,000 to get your mantra.
No, you really don't. You really,
that, you
know, yeah, no, you really don't.
It's just not necessary.
No, but I will say it's really the proliferation of all these apps is really incredible. Unplug has one. There's tons of them. You know, I learned in a group setting and I learned from a teacher, and there is something to be said for the power of having the experience of the teaching and meditating in a group setting. It's a very different experience, but that's not necessarily going to be available to everybody. And honestly, you could download a free app.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just find what works for
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah.
I just think it's fantastic that you are even opening up this communication, because there are just so many things happening in women's bodies.
Yeah.
And again, like, it can be super isolating and lonely if you're not talking about it. So I cannot wait until you bring it online so everyone.
Yeah.
But again, check out the show notes and you can get a special code and you can find out when the next actual event is happening.
Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
If you're ready to jump into Dr. Suzanne's Menopause Bootcamp, check out the show notes or visit 40thrive.com/episode46. And don't forget to use promo code 40thrive, one word, to save 10%. Thank you so much for listening. Your feedback is everything. If you like the show, share it with a friend. You know the one? She could totally use a little encouragement right now. Until next time, take care and keep thriving. Spring has sprung. And with the change of seasons, sometimes comes an increase in vitality. If you're feeling in the mood for a little more personal time, may I suggest Coconut? Coconut is all about providing clean and natural ingredients when you're enjoying your most intimate moments, with or without a partner. Naturally safe products developed by people who are obsessed with quality. Get 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut. That's 15% off with promo code GRONASS at grownasswoman.guide/coconut.